So, hello everybody, my name is Atticus.
And my name is Hope.
And this is...
The White Refrigerator. Welcome back, y'all. No, I was just gonna say, how's your week been, friend?
My week's been good. It's been really chill. It's just been kind of work and resting. And like I was saying, I think I might be experiencing like a little bit of seasonal depression, friend. When I tell you, it's literally felt like it's been 2 hours in a day. I've been getting up late, mind you, and usually like I'll wake up at 5 or 5:30 in the morning just. Because I have no idea why. After I wake up, I can go back to sleep. And I'll go back to sleep and just be sleep late as fuck. But, like, I've been going to sleep earlier most nights. Like, as soon as nighttime hit, I just want to go lay down. Like, I don't want to do nothing else. I just want to go get into bed. I've been
listen to me,
like
friend.
A wild boar. And not adhering to my schedule. That's been this week.
Listen to me, friend. Be careful with that because that also could be some of that working from home situation too. Mm-hmm. Because that's something that I kind of, well, I mean, I had some other depression shit going on, but like one of the things that kind of didn't help was the fact that I did work from home and there wasn't a lot of that human connection that I was once used to. So you find that will also kind of drain you. Even though you're a little bit more introverted than I am. I mean, I think I'm more extroverted than I am introverted, but only around certain people. But I say that to say like, it kind of, you get that like human connection, but then it's like, you're always in your house.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful with that, friend. And make sure you get out and see people and get some sunshine because that could also be a contributor too.
I honestly didn't even think about that. And I have no idea why I didn't think about that as a contributor. But it really could be the fact that, like, I'm talking to people all day, but I'm not really talking to people.
Right.
Since, like, they're not, I don't see them physically. I can't see and touch. So that might be some of it too.
Yeah. Yeah. It catches up with you after a while. Like I said, I've been doing it for a while. That's literally why I was like, I need to either be, I mean, I love the fact that it's hybrid, but mm-hmm. I did know I was like, I need to kind of be around people again. So yeah. Just be careful with that.
I'm going to be out a lookout a little bit more for that. Lord, I'm gonna have to go out and talk to people. But other than that, right? Other than that, what else interesting this week? Oh, Spotify Wrapped came out this week, or all the wraps came out this week, didn't they?
Yep.
Or end of year thingy majigas. Mine looked exactly how I thought it would. Hood, ratchet, rap girl, music. With a little bit of Beyonce sprinkled in there. That's pretty much what I got from mine, just as expected. But also, I want to mention something else. There's an app called Stats FM that like tracks your listening habits. That shit was terrible. Because when Hope first showed me, I think your Apple thing came up before Spotify, right?
Yeah, it came out the day before.
You showed me that one, and I went on the Stats FM. I was like, I forgot all about this. Let me see what it's looking like. And when I saw some of them people, I was like, now this just this can't be right. Because
I'm dead. Y'all, he saw one person in particular and was like,
I was like, this is a sham. And then it had me thinking, I was like, how could this be? How is this actually the truth? Is it possible? But then when the real one came out, that person wasn't there anymore. I was like, okay, I didn't think so.
I'm so dead.
Yeah. So that's a sham. So if you use Stats FM, just keep that in mind. Maybe they going through a thing right now. But from what I've seen, that was some BS. When it comes to TV, You don't watch Power, do you?
I watched a couple of the first the OG Power.
Like the very first, the original season.
Yes, and then there's been spinoffs. I tried to watch the one with Tommy. I couldn't really get into that one. And then the one with Mary J. Blige. I think that's, something of Canaan
is it the Book of Canaan? I think it's called the Book of Canaan.
Think so.
I know which one you're talking about, though.
I started watching some of that, and then Tariq had his own one. Watched a little bit of that, but I just can't really. I enjoyed them. I just couldn't really stay with them.
That makes a lot of sense. So the Tariq Power wrapped up, like the series finale was, I think it was in September, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
But I just caught up on them this week. And let me tell you, if for anybody who actually watched the original series, and even his series, Tariq is a horrible person. Absolutely terrible. And I feel like the only reason I watched the show was to watch something bad happen to him. Yeah, I fucking hated him as a character. From the time he got his little sister shot and was still up there, I just hated him as a character. And I feel like I watched the show just to watch something bad happen to him. And for the show to end the way it did, which, spoiler alert for anybody who ain't watched it, I'm not going to say everybody died because everybody didn't die. A few more very important characters did die. Of course, a couple more innocent people died.
Not April to Tyler Perry, haven't have not.
Well, it wasn't bad like that. A few of the main characters survived, quite a few actually. But there was one particular innocent character, and I was like, damn, why? Why so many innocent people be dying because of this nigga and don't nothing happen to him? I hate him. And at the end of the show, he pretty much got to walk off scot-free from everything that took place. All the people that died. And pretty much just go on living his happy, merry life. And I was like, nigga, fuck you. If it was another season, I would still watch it. But fuck you. I hate you, nigga. But that's crazy. Bitch. I don't think I've ever watched a show just to like see the character's downfall. But what was next? Ooh, there's a show called Severance on Apple TV. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it. I'm trying to remember.
So the plot is like you have a team of office workers who they've had a surgery to divide their memory between their work and their personal lives. So when they're at home, they don't remember anything about work. And when they're at work, they don't know anything outside of work. They just, it's kind of like their home life is at home 24/7 and their work life is at work 24/7. But the journey is trying to discover the truth about what's actually going on at work. Which, it made me think for a moment, but it was because I was like, there have been quite a few times where I wish I could just not remember anything about work, especially when I worked at my last place. Like, because you kind of can't help but to take stuff home sometimes. Even though you try not to, you kind of can't help it. And I was like, it would be really cool just to be like able to hit an off switch and not think about that shit ever again. But after watching a couple episodes of this show, I was like, that looks fucking horrendous. And then ain't no telling what the motherfuckers telling me to do in there and I don't remember.
I'm
at home. I done broke all kind of laws.
That was my very first thought on when you said it. I was like, oh no, bitch, because I need my my sane mind and my home mind. That's the mind that I tap into when I be thinking about work. When I'm at work, my brain is literally like, I need to keep my job so I can pay bills. When I'm at my home brain and I'm thinking about work, I'm like, girl, fuck that job. Go put in some new applications. Exactly. No. And then these jobs be manipulative and terrible? No. Mm-hmm. No. Sounds like a great show, though, but absolutely not.
It is awesome. I think you'll love it. I think you'll appreciate the way it was shot. Like some of their stylistic choices and some of their color choices. I think you will really appreciate that part.
Ooh.
Okay. There's also one character in there. His real name is Trammell Tillman or something like that. Tramiel, maybe.
That sounds familiar.
He's a black man. He's beautiful, and he got a big nose. And you know, I love a big nose for him. And he also just like thick as fuck. And I do recall like one scene of him walking down the hallway with the lady. And I feel like this was done purposely. That he like so thick that they, the way they shot it was like,
it's my phone.
The rail, I don't even know what you call it. Like the little guard rail was like blocking his hip area, so you couldn't see that massive wagon he was dragging along. I was like, wow, so y'all just gonna block out the view like that? But it's okay, because you can see it in other spots.
I'm dead.
But,
yeah. Oh, he is very handsome.
He is handsome. And I love his nose. I do have a thing for big noses. I don't know. It's weird. I don't care.
Yeah, he looks solid.
Yes.
Okay. I understand, friend. I can understand this.
Yep. And but that was pretty much it for this week. That's pretty much all the TV and watch. And you done got me hooked on space stuff on TikTok, so
listen,
I'll be sending you all those.
I live for it every time you do. I that's my favorite place to go, is to learn about whatever is happening in the science world.
I'm like, though, that's actually terrifying. And then with all these UFO/drones going on, I don't know what that's about, but it's super interesting. And I kind of just wish something would happen already. Like,
somebody posed a really interesting theory, and it tickled me real bad. They were like, what if the sightings we're seeing isn't them ascending, but them actually leaving? What if they know something is about to happen and they're trying to get the fuck out of here?
I did see that. And I was like, oh God, that's... Don't say that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the worst thing you could have said. Please.
Matter of fact.
Take us with you. Please.
Please. And before... If you go... You got the technology to get the fuck up out of here like that. Just get rid of the motherfucker that's causing the problem. It's a few of them. Just get rid of them.
Help us who want to actually do better.
I was about to say something terrible. I'm going to say it and cut it out. Maybe the...
That CEO.
His hitman was an alien.
Child.
He's trying to get rid of these niggas because he just shot that nigga in the back and poof. Disappeared.
That was some CIA type shit. I don't know what is... What I do know... Anyways, we can talk about that later. I got theories on that. So for me this week, I haven't really watched much TV, but I am going to change that. I'm trying my best to break away from social media. But I am trying to enjoy TikTok before whatever happens with TikTok happens. But you know what? And I may stand alone in this. I'm very half-minded on it, because on one side, I absolutely see the great things that it's done. But on the other side, I absolutely hate the mush that it's turned my brain into. The short form content, and how I literally find myself... It's almost like crackhead type shit. Like how I find myself struggling to focus on finishing things, because I just want to pick my phone up and then doom scroll. It's like I can watch 51-minute videos, but I struggle to get through an hour program, which is actually kind of insane. So again, I'm half and half on it, but I am trying to wean myself away from it. Which is funny, because I posted a video of my artwork, and that video garnered more views than any video that I've ever posted before.
That's because it's bomb.
Thank you, friend. So that was actually pretty cool. Like, I was like, I'm somebody who doesn't see over 100 likes. Also, I don't follow a lot of people. A lot of people don't follow me. I keep my social media very low key. But like, this one just blew up by minimal standards. Let me say that. But yeah, so I haven't really watched TV. But there is still a couple of things that I want to like watch. So I'm going to make some time to do that. I reorganized my room, got it a little bit more organized for myself to really focus on my art, to really like hone in on these classes that I bought the beginning of the year that I haven't done anything with. Music. So my Wrapped was kind of funny. I'm not shocked though. So like, I thought rap would have won this year because I listened to a lot of rap, but I guess that lover girl in me was like, no, not this year.
I saw Escape up there. I don't want to hear you say nothing else about Candy.
I don't say anything bad about Candy. What I love Candy. However, don't you be on the podcast shaming me about Candy. I love Candy. I just said Candy can't sing like she used to. That isn't being mean. That is not subjective. That is an objective fact. Like, she cannot sing like she used to. When we hear her sing,
it's not false.
It's be like, ooh, girl. Ooh.
It's different. I love her voice still, though. But it is different from her young voice.
I mean, like, Candy. Shh.
Let's move on.
You was the one that brought it up. I didn't bring it up. But like, anything she acting in, anything she writing, I'm there for it all day long. And she is funny AF. Candy is funny as fuck.
She is.
So yeah, my Apple list top three albums or top albums ended up being Cowboy Carter. That's no shocker. Pose, and it was just two particular songs that I listened to from that album, and it's on my gospel playlist. So like, when I need to uplift myself, it's This Day by Billie Holiday, and then B. Slade and Letticy. I can't remember the name of that song, but they have a song. Dun, 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 dun. It'll come to me, but I love both of those songs. Beyonce got on there twice with Renaissance. Again, I think I said this on a music episode.
Still gets played
heavily. As of now, my top three Beyonce albums has changed. It is Lemonade, Renaissance, Cowboy Carter.
Carter's number three.
Or
is that in no order?
That's in no order. If I had to put them in order, I would actually probably go. I would, at the current moment, let me just say that, as at the current state, I would probably say, actually, I'm gonna pull one. I would actually say Cowboy Carter is number one. That at this current time is my favorite Beyonce album, like ever.
I expect that.
And then Renaissance would be number two. Lemonade would be number three. And then Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers was my fourth most played album. That's not shocking. And then, speaking of Wicked, Ariana Grande crept up in there. Dangerous Woman album. Listen, I played the dust off that album.
I want to give an honorable mention to her, because this last album, Eternal Sunshine,
it was really good. I
love this album a lot. Like, I want to say this is probably my favorite one from her.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say I haven't seen Wicked yet. I do plan on seeing it, but I'm just trying. I mean, I've been busy with work. And then by the time I get off, I'm just kind of like drained. And then it was holidays. It's just been a lot. So I said, I'm going to try to make some time to do it probably this upcoming weekend, because I don't think it's going to leave the theaters anytime soon. People are going crazy over it. But I'm so surprised at the people who were surprised at the song No One Mourns Wicked. Like, I didn't know she could sing like that. I'm like, did y'all forget who Ariana Grande is? I was like, what?
Was this black people saying that?
No. This is like a combination of people. But it has been primarily the palm color people. And I'm just like, did y'all forget? Like, the vocal she put out on Dangerous Woman was insane. Okay,
vocal she put out on everything.
Every single album. And then people were like surprised in the song that she sung this super high falsetto, operatic, very, very opera oriented. I was like, girl, she's a classically trained kid superstar singer. What? Anyways, I just wanted to get that off my chest because that has been tickling me because I'm like, y'all cannot be serious. Please don't play with a girl. Serious. Please don't play with her. Because when it comes to white girl vocalist, Ariana's up there. She's probably top three.
She's definitely top three.
Especially if we go on pop girly. Now, we can go in some other directions. Like, you know, you got your Jessie J's, your Yebba's, your Tori Kelly's, your JoJo's. I feel like they're a little bit of a different type of white girl.
I'm not a super big fan of Jessie J's voice.
She got one song called Someone's Lady. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Like, don't get me wrong. She really can sing. That's just like a voice preference thing.
Yeah, I can see that. She's had plenty of songs. So I was like, girl, you're doing the most. You're doing the please.
It'd be a lot going on.
But yeah, anyways, I say all that to say, so my Apple, and y'all, don't judge me. I do pay for both Apple and Spotify. It's whatever. I utilize them both too. Apple top artist list, no shock. Number one goes to B. No shock there whatsoever. Number two goes to Kendrick. No shock there whatsoever. The last three did shock me, though. The Pose cast, again, I played the hell out of them two songs. And I'm saying the hell like they ain't gospel songs. Jesus Know My Heart. Maxwell.
You know what's going on.
If you know me, then you know how I feel about Maxwell, Usher, and D'Angelo. Those three gonna get heavy rotation in my household. And then Division. And I know what song that was by itself. That was Too Deep. In Too Deep. Don't wanna pull out. That song is a...
Look, it's crazy when a single song puts an artist in your top five.
It's crazy.
It's like, I was not listening to them like that. I listened to this 675 times.
Pretty much. That's exactly how that happened. Mm-hmm. Now, for my Spotify playlist or rap list, Brittany Howard took number one. That's also not shocking. She dropped an album earlier this year. That I think she was like one of the first artists that I recommended to you guys when we started the show. Heavy rotation. Oh, I have loved her since Alabama Shake. Shout out. She is a fellow Alabamian. Love her down real bad. Moses Sumney, I also shouted him out in one of the first episodes. Mm-hmm. And I think last week's episode too. He took my number two spot. Beyonce took number three on Spotify. Again, that's not shocking. I played Cowboy Carter into the damn ground. Megan took number three. Number four. Again, and that primarily came from this last album. Now, the first one, I played the shit out of the first one, but the second one? Oh, my gosh. And the number five was Lucky Day. That's also not shocking. That probably came... He did drop his album this year, and it was really good, but I can guarantee you that came from, like, two songs, too. So, yeah, that was pretty much my music list. Like I said, nothing was really happening for TV. Personal life, nothing exciting. It's just been working home. It's a lot of new information to absorb, so I just really been trying to focus on that. I do want to share one story with you guys. I did have this super elderly moment, and it was the funniest thing ever to me. And I text my friend, and I was like, okay, this is it. I'm done. I've lived the life I need to live. So, and I mean, y'all know how old I am. I talk about my age all the time. I am a millennial. I am one of the middle millennials, I guess, the ones from like 86 to 90. But I still enjoy crossword puzzles. I have a game on my iPad Pro, and I have little books. I buy them from the Dollar Tree. I love them. I was sitting there doing a crossword puzzle and start chewing on air. I'm going to see if I can reenact this. Y'all can't see it, but I just need y'all to hear where I'm coming from. He can see me because we're looking at each other. But basically, I'm sitting there, And I'm going to just use my iPad. And I'm sitting there, and even though this was the paper one, I got the paper one. And I'm just in there. This is so tragic. I'm just... Fred, I don't know if it was a tick. You know, they say how we didn't develop ticks because of the mask. I don't know if it was a tick because of the mask. But the way I caught myself doing it, I was so disgusted and flabbergasted and all of that. What the? How old am I now? I was like, you know what? I've seen all that I need to see. I don't need to be here anymore. If this is, it's time for me to set my contingency plan. Because I'm. What the A P P R I S A M? I pray. Do we is this damn? Praise. Or y'all turn into somebody, Mima. I turn into somebody just breathing and mouth wide open. So,
oh, shit.
But I was like, bro, what is this? Like, you're getting older. You're not old, Hope. Chill the fuck out. You still got a few years before you even hit 40. So I need you to bring it. Let's reel it back in because it's a lot happening here.
You sent me that. All I could picture was like you driving with your mouth open because that's about the only time I just be. Yeah, old people drive with their mouth wide open, and I have no idea why they be like. Or you see it from the side, and it's like.
It's tongue just out. You know, are you tasting the air?
Are you okay in there?
I love to see when old men do it and they be turning. It's something hilarious about. Because they use both hands when they turn the steering wheel. So I'm like, this really doesn't require this much effort. You could have just, you know, you could have did one of these numbers. You could have just did your roundabout. They grab.
That's how a steering might be out. They had to use all the energy they had.
Listen, I told you, friend, old men just be strong and upset for no reason. I told you last week. Why are you making? Calm down.
Why is it taking you this long to die? God damn.
It's okay. Damn, man. I love hearing old people cuss too. It's just, I don't know. I welcome my old age. I welcome my old age, even though I'm not old. I'm not even near old. So I don't know why I was sitting there with a damn crossword puzzle.
Ain't nothing wrong with a crossword puzzle. It's going to keep your mind sharp, Fred.
I guess so, child. I need it. But yeah, that's pretty much been my week in summary. Nothing crazy. Very lax, very chill. Taking in all this information. Just trying to, you know, prepare myself the best I can for the upcoming year. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's beautiful. One day at a time. That's all you can do.
That's it.
I also want to say again how proud of you I am. Because one, my bitch finished her painting. Two, she did all of her work. And you did all of that in like 1 week. So I need you to give yourself your tens real quick.
Tens. Across the board. Yes. I mean... Listen, I'm really just trying to stay focused. I'm like, okay. I think I talked about this a couple of episodes ago about like how I went back and looked at my journal and a lot of the things that I wanted to do, I was able to actually do. Mm-hmm. I wanted to get a vehicle because, you know, in between one car in the house that's a lot. So I was able to do that. So funny enough, speaking of that, and you can probably cut this out, but I was thinking about, you know, next season, how we're going to be more on camera and stuff like that. So I was like, I want to go ahead and start making preparations for that and just kind of seeing what that's going to look like financially. Because although I did buy a camera this year and I did go out and shoot and I got some wonderful images, I have come to the realization that it really, I think I needed to do it this last time just seeing it. I can confirm it really doesn't speak to me like it once did. I still love it. I think I always love it, but I can say now, like, you know, and I mean, I did mm-hmm. some stuff on TikTok. I made some pretty decent looking videos, and I would love to do something like that, but I was thinking, you know, like, you know, I need a better camera. Do I get a webcam? I would actually love to do like a YouTube focusing on my journey with my art as I actually get into my studies more. And just kind of share that little short videos, 5-minute inspirational videos. But it was like, I really just don't care about photography and videography on that level right now. So what does that actually look like? But yeah, I was thinking about like lighting. I was like, I have my big light. I put it up because of the way I position this other desk. It's like a drafting desk, so it flips up, which is really good for me to draw.
Actually, friend, this goes perfectly into what this episode even is today.
It does. Letting go.
Yep. Because yours, everything that you just said, I'm having the same thing. And it's difficult because it's something that has been for so long. So it's like you said, what does that look like? Like, what does that mean to me? Because that, like, that was an outlet. That was a period in time. So what does it look like?
Something I loved and enjoyed, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what does it look like not being there? But, as you can already see, your creativity specifically is boundless. Like, you're creative in so many different ways that it don't matter if you have a camera or not. The shit is gonna come out because it got to. It ain't no way not to. It has to come out.
Thank you, friend. Yeah, I mean, and I get that, friend. And I kind of it's funny because when you sold your camera, I was like, Addie sold his camera. I was like, Addie isn't like me. So like him selling his camera was an interesting choice. So I was like, something else is going on. So it's funny that you say that because it's like, okay, it kind of just that thing of like. And you didn't turn around and buy one right away. I was like, might kind of be timed out on it too.
And the thing is, so I sold it and there were two options. So there was the A6700, if I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
And then I was also hearing rumors about a DJI mirrorless camera. That's why I was waiting so long initially, because they said it was supposed to happen in September. But September came and went, nothing happened. Rumors continued. October came and went, nothing happened. And in that time, I didn't have a camera, and I was just like,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't feel like I'm missing anything.
Yeah, like nothing feels missing here. Would I like one? Of course, but at this point, it's like, I feel like I'd be getting it for no real reason, if that makes sense at all. Like,
that
I do want one
makes
just
perfect
to have
sense.
One, but I don't think I'll be getting one that's as powerful as the one I had before. I will probably end up going with the Sony, is it the EV?
ZV-E10.
ZV-E10. Probably the second one, but I feel
honestly,
like that would last for a lifetime, to be honest.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was actually looking at the first one, because, and that kind of came into, like, what I was thinking about. I was just like, I like taking, so my eyes aren't what they used to be. I just have to come to that realization. They aren't what they used to be. I do not feel like fighting with manual focus, which is sad, because I love film photography, but depending on the type of camera you get, because it has been, the industry is so oversaturated, it's become very niche. Everybody wants to shoot film. It's not what it once was. So if you want a good film camera that can shoot with autofocus, you're paying out the yang-yang for it. Even the ones that don't, you're paying out the yang-yang for it. So it was just like, ultimately, I kind of came to this place to where the cost what it requires. It's just not worth it, but I love it. So I was like, okay, I need a good digital camera with good autofocus. But like, what do I need it for? Because like, I don't do nothing but take photos of my cats, or I'm like bothering my family running around taking snapshots of them. Little short videos of my cats doing stuff or me doing stuff. I don't even need something medium powered. I just need something reliable enough to get the job done. So, and then to take pictures of my artwork, like actual good pictures. Cause it's not that my phone can't, speaking of that, well, I don't want to have my ADD do too much, but, yeah, it just kind of led me down to like, I'm thinking ZV-E10 with the kit lens. I'm talking about super simple. Maybe one of the other lens I saw was the OG 16mm 2.8, which you can get for under $100. And then, of course, the E-mount is massive, and you can find so many cheap options. So I said, you know, that could be just a good all-arounder. I could use it for the webcam for the show. I could use it for just about anything I really needed it for. So that's kind of where my mind is at. It's cheap and simple. And I'm still debating on that, right? Because it's like, but do I really want to do this as I try to wean myself further away from social media? So yeah, I'm just kind of in this, you know, teeter-totter place. But the first two things that I know that I absolutely need to do, speaking of that, is I need to, A, get a new laptop. My laptop is powerful. Don't get me wrong. It's the OG, but it's, what, 2019? It's the last Intel that they made for the MacBooks. And I have the i9 processor, which is still pretty powerful. 32 gigs of RAM, a terabyte. We're talking, if I had bought this when it first came out, I would have easily spent $4,500, like, out the gate. So it's still powerful. However, it's getting a little long in the tooth, so it's starting to show its age. And then on top of that, the thing about Apple is Apple lasts for a really long time. I'm kind of like, you know what? I want to just go ahead and, same with my phone, just go ahead and sell these. And then get an upgraded version. So I was thinking about that, like, would I even need a webcam? Because I'm looking at the MacBook Air, the 15-inch, and it's got 1080p camera. Like, the only thing I would need it for is maybe to get, like, a wider field of view. So, like, anyways, I say all that to say I'm taking all these different things into consideration because it's like, you know, is it even going to really be worth the money if I'm not going to utilize it? Because after seeing that painting and seeing the reception it got and seeing how good it actually looked, this is probably one of the best paintings I've ever painted. And I can see that growth. It's like, okay, hope this is your sign to really dive into it. You know, we don't know what's about to happen with TikTok. I actually, speaking of TikTok, I saw a video from our dear Rupert Charles Paul RuPaul. And it just basically was like, you know what, guys? Turn the TV off. Turn the news off. Go outside. Laugh. Dance. Sing. And he said a little bit more, but the general point of the video was like, you know, the media is a lot right now. The world is a lot right now. You know, I said I was going to do top shelf, but I mean, it's, everybody knows, you know, the French government just fell. South Korea, they going nuck if you buck with their government.
Georgia
is going nuck. It's a lot happening everywhere. Ukraine and Russia is still a thing. The Palestinian Gaza war with Israel is still a thing. Like, it's so much. So while I'm not saying tune out, right, because ignorance is bliss, like it is to be blissfully unaware, but there is still also the ignorance to be unaware. So it is still our responsibility to know as adults, you know, what is going on, to know where you can help if you can, That being said, it is also your responsibility to protect your mental health and your sanity, and fall back when you know you need to fall back. And going into this podcast, Atticus and I are both fairly positive people. I feel like we're both pretty optimistic people. And going into next season, we really want to focus on uplifting, inspiring, educating, vulnerability, accountability.
Growth.
Growth.
Self-development.
Yes. Come on, self-development. Yes. Yes. Like,
we wanted to focus on these things solely. You want to be a better person. But even like earlier when I was talking about how I've been tired here lately, I think social media even plays a part in that because of everything that's happened in the past month. Everything has been exhausting. Everything has been exhausting.
Oh my God.
And we want to remain positive, but it's kind of hard to try to remain positive when you can't help but focus on certain things.
Well, I mean, we're humans, you know?
We're human. You want to know what's going on. We have our hopes and wishes. I'm still praying for a miracle. But when you get kind of consumed in it, and once it's like grabbed you and it has your attention, I feel like there's not a whole lot you can do until you actually decide to disconnect. So like she said, you can't be fully ignorant, because especially now, because you got to know what the hell going on.
You live here.
You live here.
Yeah.
But you still got to say, okay, time out for this. I'll check back next week. Like,
yeah, exactly. Just
give it a few days.
And I mean, if I do take the time to do Top Shelf, it'll be more uplifting news, right? Like, for instance, mm-hmm. I sent Addie a video earlier about the house.
Great news.
Yeah, like it's the house is down to 207. So while the Republicans still, and this is just the news that we know you guys need to hear, because everybody with any type of good sense is panicking slightly, even if it's not as bad as others. There is still this worryation, because you know that this new incoming presidential candidate or president-elect and his cabinet is going to try to do crazy shit. Like, we know this. They've said this. And believe them. That's the mm-hmm. problem that people didn't have before, is they didn't believe them. Now, like Addie said earlier, which was super funny, but it's the truth. Now a lot of them want to, they're like, oh, we done fucked up. It's too late now.
Right. That's why all they taking down them signs they had.
And
you fucked up.
Actually, let me check it now. I haven't had a chance to see who actually won the popular vote. I still feel like maybe he cheated, but who knows? But what I can say is maybe he didn't, and I'm going to tell you guys why. And this is going to sound so sad, but this is the reality. Black people make up for, what, 13% of Americans? And then others will say they're about 20%. So we'll say all in all 35% of other. We'll say 35 to 40. The overwhelming majority is still Caucasian. It would not surprise me at all if they outvoted us in numbers just to prevent her from coming in. That wouldn't surprise me. So, like, the more I sit with it, it's like, you know what? This actually couldn't, you know, this could be the reality. This actually could not be that far-fetched. And it's sad, but it is what it is. And it brings me to probably one of the last things you'll hear me talk about in regards to this, is the amount of people who don't realize that white supremacy, while a huge place in America, it has stood on for since the beginning of its creation, it still does not yield to poverty. So if you are a poor white person, understand that classism will easily come right in and overstep that racism. So you voting for him because you were racist, cool. You're still poor. They're still going to take your lunch.
Something he can't relate to.
So this man been rich his whole life.
Something none of his fucking cabinet members can relate to.
And you this go is going to piss me off a little bit.
No.
But I'm running these third-party numbers.
My titty sweat.
That's exactly how I felt as soon as I said it. Titties just started sweating. Just got ill, feverish. Shout out to all you Jill Stein voters. Where's she at now? Where's she at now? Have you heard anything from her?
You're not going to hear from her until the bitch come out of her fucking cave on Groundhog Day 4 years from now to do this shit again.
Jill is on up there, so hopefully she'll be dead and gone by then. And I'm not going to retract that statement.
No, take that back for you.
I'm not. I'm not. Because I'm looking here.
Evil never dies.
So, to the third party, Jill Stein, Robert Kennedy, which why the fuck were y'all voting for Robert Kennedy and he had already stepped down? That's insane. Chase Oliver, I don't even know who this person is.
Me either.
Other candidates, they accounted for 2.5 million votes.
That's crazy.
By popular vote, Kamala won. I'm sorry, she didn't win. She was only under Trump by, guess how many, y'all? 2.5 million votes.
Wow.
All I can say is I hope it was worth it. And I'm not going to talk about it anymore. I'm not. This podcast will be for the assistance and the joy and the peace and the prosperity and the love of black and brown people and poor people and LGBTQ people. Uplifting, educating, inspiring. I want to try to work on a segment to where I find something of people in these marginalized communities who are doing amazing things just to shout them out. Because it's important to be recognized for doing the work. And we're not going to give any more. That's what I love about Blue Sky, y'all. Because you can just delete and mute motherfuckers and they never exist again. Ever. And that's the way we have to treat this circus. These people who want to see our downfall, the only reason that they're doing what they're doing is for the sake of entertainment. And when I say entertainment is they can't piss you off if you're not paying attention to them. That's why they hate Blue Sky so much. They're trying to come over and they're just getting deleted and blocked.
Right. Or you're just muted because everybody got, we don't want to hear you anymore. You can't sit with us.
We don't want to hear you say nigga no more.
Right. We don't. And we're not over there where we're forced to see that shit now. No matter how many times blocked anybody on X, you still saw that shit.
I did not know that. Jesus Christ.
That's insane. And I would like to say another thing to all of the adult content makers. It's allowed on Blue Sky. Come on over. I feel like it's people that's staying over there just because y'all still over there. Come over. I was on there last night. I saw plenty of y'all. I ain't see everybody I wanted to see. So some of y'all need to go ahead and make that switch. Come on over. We're still here. You ain't gonna miss nothing, I promise.
Listen, you can build your fan base right back up with Blue Sky. You can do that. You can do that. It's, you really yeah, can.
Just give your folks a deadline after this date. I'm gonna be over on Blue Sky. Catch me on Blue Sky. And people gonna come.
I was gonna say, people will come. I mean, that'll help. Here's the thing. We have to stop giving people like Elon power. All these terrible people. Yeah, no more clout, no more giving them power, no more giving them anything. But y'all, the ADD took over again. I say that to say, back to what I was trying to say earlier, right now there's 217 Republicans in the House. My cats are rude, y'all.
Why Why did you look at your cat like a nigga in the street just then?
That's just how I felt. Let me, now I gotta say that part all over again. Don't be looking at me.
The way you just looked at her took me out. Look at her like you wanted to fight.
Cause she, you know how she do when she get up under my computer and be staring at me looking crazy as hell. Anyways, before the ADHD takes over, y'all, so back to what I was trying to say earlier about the good news. So, as of right now, the Republicans occupy 217 seats in the House. The Democrats are only just, like, under them by a few. And when I say a few, I can't remember the number right offhand, but I want to say it's, like, 215. It is very close. Now, granted, the other three seats that are still up, they could play out in either way. I mean, you have Matt Gaetz, who stepped down, rightfully so. He's weird and fucking gross. And then you have two people that were selected to join Trump's cabinet. If people, if you play your cards right, we could actually end up taking the House back, because you could vote Democrat for those three people. We only need 218 to take the House back. We're three away from that. So mm-hmm. It is practical and feasible. Even if it is not, though, here's the good news, y'all. And this is why I want you to have hope. Like I said, Sleepy Joe ain't been that sleepy and has been putting a lot of federal protections in place. So before it even gets to the Supreme Court, it has to go through the Supreme Courts within the states. He's not going to make it nearly as far as he thinks he is. On top of that, legislation takes place, and we talked about this on the show as well, through the House. So your Senate and your Congress, I'm sorry. Like I just said, right now they are very close. Like that margin is very, very small. What you also have to remember is that many of the sitting Republicans do not agree with Trump. They voted for Kamala. So this is not going to be a situation to where they're going to come in, winner takes all, and it's a sweep. No, no, no. The Republicans are extremely divided at the current moment, which is going to work in our favor, because some of these more like wild things that they're trying to do, like cutting Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, SNAP, Planned Parenthood, it's going to be a fight to do that. And the Republicans, like I said, are very divided. On the opposite hand, the Democrats are not. They're pretty much 85 to 90% on board. You have that 10% that varies off from time to time, but that's still incredibly close. Even if you have 10% of the Republicans who do side with the Democrats, that's all we need. So I say that to say a lot of this shit isn't going to walk. So that should give you some peace of mind. And mind you, these seats come up in 2 years. So we can still flip things back blue. Don't give up hope. Don't fight. Don't give up the fight. It seems insane. It is insane. But hold your ground. We got this. We got this. And especially my black people. I've said this before. We've been through countless things, atrocities, issues. I don't even have to go through it all. We know. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And we're still here. We're still thriving. We got this. Just keep your head up. Remain positive. Remain peaceful. Not just positive, but remain peaceful. The moment something starts messing with your peace, pull yourself out, regroup, regather, rest, then do what you need to do to go back into it. But yeah, the good fight is still going, and you have to remember that good does always prevail. So yeah, that's all I got for that.
I hope good always prevails. And I know it's easy to want to give up on the fight, especially after some shit like this that's exhausting. You feel like Muhammad Ali's opponent after what just happened. But it's okay. We still here. And what whatchamacallit say, you live. You live to fight another day.
Live to fight another day.
That's all. That's all I got to say about it.
Well,
hopefully y'all, that will happen still. But
we, you know, who knows? Who knows at this point? But that being said, that perfectly segues into the main topic of this week's episode, which will be a two-parter. The art of letting go. And this week is going to be letting the past be the past. And health of the mind, body, and soul, because I think one thing that we often forget about is that these things are all intertwined. They're all connected. if you don't have peace in your mind, then your body is going to follow suit. Your soul is going to feel weary. It's just a combination of things that doesn't suit the human experience. We are of many things. So when things start to become unaligned with what they should be, you feel it in every single mm-hmm. aspect of your life. So yeah, what's your take on it, Fran? You tell me what the art of letting go for this week, the past is the past, and focusing on the past being the past, and how to heal the mind, body, and soul going forward.
So when it comes to this part and letting the past be the past, I think this is probably one of the hardest parts for most people, especially when it comes to shit that you may have feel like you, something that may have happened to you that you think you don't think about anymore, but it actually guides a lot of the decisions that you make to this day. if that makes any sense at all.
That makes perfect sense.
When it comes to like actually trying to let go and let the past be the past, I think you actually have to go to the past first. Like I think you just kind of have to get there and face whatever that thing is. Work. And whether that be like, we would all love closure in any type of situation, right? So I think that just means sometimes you got to be comfortable not. Did you hear that goddamn truck again? I swear to God, I'm going to get the wizard. God, today. Stay your ass in the house. Goddamn. Okay. But like I was saying, we all like closure. We would all prefer closure in any given situation. But I think you have to go back to that point in time, like reassess what happened. And I'm trying to get to a point where I don't necessarily assume malicious intent by what somebody might have said or done, because maybe they honestly really didn't know better at the time. That's something that's like, it's kind of hard. That's difficult to do. But also just kind of get to the point where no matter the circumstance, if it's something you can't reach out for, just be okay with the fact that you might not get closure with that situation, and you're going to have to be okay with that and move forward with it.
Friend, it's funny you say that, not to interrupt, but I literally saw a video on YouTube, I think it was, where this woman said, it might have been TikTok, I can't remember. I feel like it might have been YouTube, because I feel like it was a longer video that I watched. Anyways, she said, I'm going to hold your hand when I say this. Closure doesn't exist. And ooh, then, Fran, the way she broke it down, she was like, closure is what you need to move forward. Mm-hmm. If people don't see an issue or take an issue with what they did to you, there's nothing for them to close. They see no problem with what they've done. And she said, you're sitting here holding on to something that literally to them no longer exists. So,
friend. Now I can think about it like that. God damn.
Listen, I tried to snatch my hand back from her. I was like, bitch, don't tell me nothing.
But that's like, so true.
That's so true. She was like, closure doesn't exist. She was like, you know, sometimes you guys can talk it out. Sometimes you can't. There'll be animosity. She said, you'll feel whatever you feel until you don't feel it anymore. No mm-hmm. matter if they do apologize for it, no matter if they do give you a reason for it, if they hurt you, you're going mm-hmm. to feel a way until you are healed from it. So they mm-hmm. can explain why they did what they did all day. Does that matter? Does it make anything any less or any more? Friend, I was like, oh.
Put a pin in that.
We're going to put a pin in that.
You said, does it matter? Okay. Me being of sound mind, I feel like if somebody came to me and said that I hurt them by something that I did, I can take that in and like understand where they're coming from, and I can apologize for what might have happened. I can apologize for like, I can explain my part and why I might have done what I've done, but ultimately that won't change your feeling. But I feel like as a decent human being, I can at least say, shit, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
Accountability.
Exactly. I didn't know that it would have affected you like that. I do apologize. At the end of the day, you still feel how you feel. That's true. But what's wrong with taking accountability for?
So we gonna put a pin in that, because what you just said, I think, is the part that maybe she was kind of implying, which was, and I wish she had clarified that just a little bit, because I feel like, and maybe that's just our air sign brains overthinking it, but like, there's two sides to this coin, right? Because the real question is, what happened? What mm-hmm. did you do? Because mm-hmm. accountability looks different depending on the situation that actually took place. So true. Why would you apologize for cheating on me? Like, thank you for apologizing. But you can't look me in the face and be like, oh, you know, I mean, I didn't know what I was doing. What do you mean? Because now you've insulted me.
Right. Now I'm going to put my hands on you.
Right. What do you mean you didn't know? You knew exactly what you were doing when you did the action. So, like, yes. You know, it's one thing to unintentionally hurt someone. Mm-hmm. It's another when you intentionally hurt someone. So I think that's the thing that she didn't separate. Because I feel like you should take accountability for both, right? But I feel you like should. The approach is different. And then when she made the statement, like, does it really matter? I guess I saw what she was saying, like, your feelings are hurt regardless. Mm-hmm. But for me, that would actually matter if you apologized. Because mm-hmm. at least I know that you were aware. Mm-hmm. But then on the other flip side, now that's the Libra thing. I don't know if you do that, but that's that scale thing, because my mind just be doing. But like, on the flip side of that, now I feel a way again, though. Because if you did something heinous and you acknowledge and you apologize, that means you was fucking aware. You was aware. And you was aware that this would hurt me.
So I would... Okay. Ooh, shit. That gets complicated. It depends
first on
what stage I'm in with whatever has happened.
That's true, too.
Also, like, I really be trying to put myself in people's position. Like, whenever you did what you did, minus cheating, because if that's what you did, you knew what the fuck you were doing. Minus cheating, I feel like it's a lot of circumstances where you might have done something where your brain doesn't work like mine, so you may not have thought anything about what you did as being something that would piss me off or make me feel a type of way. You might have just been acting.
But then the question is, what constitutes that, right? Like, what is, because we say, okay, cheating, no. But then it's like, what else would fall in line with that? Because to me, I kind of branch it all together almost. Like, because if you, I guess it depends on, again, like what it is. Because lying to me, why the fuck you feel like you got to lie? You can just keep it a buck.
Now that part. If you may have withheld a truth because of someone else, perhaps. Maybe you didn't want to tell me they're somebody else's business. Sure.
Is that withholding the truth? That's
the only circumstance I can think of, because
I don't think that's withholding the truth, though. Because that would be like,
because you can't tell me something I can't tell you.
Me and my other friend, and your other friend. Mm-hmm. He may tell you something in confidence because you and him are closer than he and I are. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Or same with me and Dina. So, like, mm-hmm. she may tell me something that, like, this needs to stay here. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's necessarily withholding, even though we're best friends. So, if he tells him something or she tells me something, even though he and I are best friends, it's still our duty and responsibility to this other person to not air their stuff out. So I wouldn't necessarily, if it's mm-hmm. something like that, I wouldn't consider that withholding the truth. Unless, now here's where it gets technical, unless it's something that affects you.
True.
So then, and this is why I hate this game too, because you know how this has happened to me before and I hate it. I hate it so bad because I don't like to pick sides. It just depends on the severity of what happened. But like, petty shit, do not make me pick sides, because I'm still both of y'all's friends. But mm-hmm. like, the event to where like one of the other parties did something to the other, and they're like, "Well, you can't be my friend and still be friends with them." This is going to depend on what happened.
Yeah, it'd be some serious shit. Because if you done some super foul shit, I'm going to ask you about it.
I got questions.
They saying you done this, and this is actually terrible. Is this true?
Right. Like, now I got to pick sides.
Exactly. Because that was kind of fucked up. So you going to do that? What do say on TikTok? I know you ain't mean no harm. But the fact that you could do something like that and not mean no harm is crazy. So I'm just gonna leave you here with it, because that was insane.
Yeah. Exit stage left real fast. Real fast.
Yes.
But
I don't know. I feel like that's super situational. But when it comes to lying, I feel like you and me both give so much room for people to tell the truth. Like, you really don't. There's literally no reason to lie. We grown as fuck. What you scared of? Like,
that's the real tea. What are you scared of?
What are you scared? I can't do nothing to you. tell the truth. It's fine.
And I mean, I read a quote once. I think I even mentioned this on a few episodes ago. But it said the greatest kindness you can grant someone is the truth. Like, dead ass, you ain't got to spare my feelings. Say what it is. Let me decide. And that's a part of, and then we can tie that right back into, you know, letting the past be the past. Like, let me decide if this is a situation that I want to even put myself in. Because I don't want to, I'm someone who, unfortunately, remembers everything and overthinks everything. I can still, I can be detached. Don't get me wrong. I can be a cold bitch real fast. Real fast. But it's just like, at the same time, I don't want to hold on to anything extra. So if you feel like you're going to present a situation that may be extra, allow me to make that decision for myself first.
Please and thank you. Please and thank you. Don't be bringing no mess. I'm walking out the door just as happy as I can be, and somebody hit me in the face with a brick when I walk out the door because of some shit you done put me in that I didn't know nothing about.
Because here's the thing.
I didn't know he was married. What do you mean?
Right. Your actions may be your actions, but baby, my reactions are also my reactions. So play that game if you want to. And yep. I think that's like the thing that you also have to remember with the past being the past. Is, and I love what you said, friend. What do I always say, though? We talk about this all the time. Like, you have to sit with it. You have to go through it to get through it. Like, you have to sit with it in order for it to... You have to acknowledge it, you know? You can't just, that's, you know, it's
acknowledging,
like...
Acknowledging that it's there.
It's like getting a cut.
Mm-hmm.
You accidentally nick yourself. And you nick yourself deep. You may need stitches. Or at least at the very... best put some Neosporin and some peroxide and Band-Aids, just wrap it up. No, what do? You just sit there and you wrench it off, like the old folks say, you wrench. You rinse it off and you go on with your day. Well, guess what? You're still bleeding. And now there's a chance of possible infection. Yep. Like, this could have been prevented if you had just dealt with the pain of the alcohol and peroxide from Jump Street. Yeah, it's going to suck. It's painful. But you could have fixed it then, or at least started the process to fix it. Because ultimately, I also have like a second theory to what we were just talking about. I don't think... So, okay, let me back up. I saw something on Blue Sky that falls perfectly in alignment with this conversation, which was, you're never healed until you're in the situation to verify that you're actually healed. So when people say, come to me healed, how do you know, and you haven't been in this situation in a while? And that gagged me real bad, friend.
Oh, wow. That is something I never thought of.
Yeah, my like
God, today.
How can you say you're ready for a relationship, or you're healed from this or you're healed from that, when you haven't been put back in that situation since you've been out of it? What do you know what you're ready for? So it's like, just like living is a continuous process, because you're constantly experiencing life. You never fully stop healing. Why? Because you never fully stop learning. You never fully stop growing. the whole purpose of healing is to acknowledge what caused the pain and to prevent it going forward and to learn better from it. If you run into a brick wall, guess what you know not to do the second time? Go in the direction that led you into the brick wall. So it's just like, but it's a continuous learning process, because how do you not know this next path doesn't have a brick wall? You haven't traveled this path before, but you do know what to look for and you do know what signs. So you're like, oh, wait a minute. This path looks like it. I don't see light at the end of this path. So it may be a brick wall. So I may need to go left instead of right. You find yourself being more of an observationist. You pay attention to things. You have a little bit more discernment. But it's an ongoing process. It never actually stops. So when I saw that, I was like, whew, like mind blown, because it made me realize like healing is a continuous process. It is a continuous act of self-love. Like, because every day ain't going to be a good day.
Lord knows.
You can go to therapy, work shit out all day long. The same shit that agitated you before is probably still going to agitate you if it's a trigger. Mm-hmm. You learn how to deal with it, but not all days are you capable of dealing with it as you should. That is being alive. So mm-hmm. I think in order to put the past in the past, like Addie said, and he said it beautifully, that was perfect, is like you have to sit with the past, acknowledge it for what it is, be there, cross scream, holler, throw up, whatever you need to do, pick yourself up the best that you can, and then just start inching forward.
Mm-hmm.
But just know that there's a chance that situation or some variation of that situation could present itself again. Just use the knowledge that you learned from the past in order to avoid it in the future.
Yep. And we apply this in all forms anyway, just in different ways. Like, you meet the same person a different font. You already know what this person is about. And that's not necessarily like a relationship wise. You just come in contact with a certain personality type that you've met before. I already know how this ends. So I already know how to handle our interactions or our relationships. So you come in contact with certain things just like a vaccine so that you know how to deal with them later.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that was a good analogy. I like that.
Yep.
And that's especially for us gays, okay? Mm-hmm. For us LGBTQ people, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What Atticus just said is specifically very heavy to us, because we have this thing to where we always put ourselves in positions that we know are going to fail just to safeguard ourselves. Just to say, you know what, I knew it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Instead of taking a chance on something that could potentially be better. We chase these straight people who mean us no good. We chase these
they don't.
DL men and women. I said it before, and I say it jokingly, but I'm kind of dead ass. Like, I just don't see a place or a time to where a woman who's undecided could entertain me in any way anymore. Girl, I've done that. 20-year-old hope. If you had caught me probably about 5 years ago, maybe. You know, today, absolutely not. But then again, that goes back to that continuous process. So, like, who's to say I don't meet the love of my life who hadn't figured their shit out yet? I don't know. It's a process.
I was just about to say, like, in theory, that sounds wonderful. And I would love to say I would never entertain another trade ever in my life.
Friend, you're going
to be lying.
Entertain a trade, and it's going to be one of them Trump trades with taxes and tariffs on it. Extra 15%. Don't do it. It ain't worth it. Listen, it's hard.
It's hard.
And that ties it into protecting mind, body, and soul, because the thing is, it's a very cliche saying. It's been said 20,000 times, but it's a quote that I love nonetheless. It says, you know, we often forget why the rearview mirror is smaller than the windshield. That's because where you're going is far more important than where you've been. And putting that in perspective, listen, it's an old quote. I forgot who said, but I love it. Every time I see it pop up somewhere, I'm like, oh, I love that quote. But it's just like, that is the reality of the situation, right? Like, we hold on to things and it just eats us up and it becomes infected and dangerous and it damn near kills us and then we let it go. And then we, like Addy just said, then we follow patterns and end up right back in the same situation again. And now this is one of my own personal quotes, which is, history doesn't repeat itself, behavior does. Patterns repeat themselves.
It's so true.
You have to consciously decide, I don't want to be this way anymore. That is extremely difficult. Extremely.
But it's the catalyst for the change.
It's the only, it's technically the only way that it can work. Like, it will not work any other way. You have to consciously say, it's me. Mm-hmm. It's me. So if you, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. I got Wicked on the brain.
But that's true. Until you decide that you want to change, you won't change. That's also another reason I'm like skeptical about helping certain people with situations they ask for when they show like no interest in actually changing their behaviors. So. But yeah, like, one of my things going into the new year is I feel like sometimes I treat myself like the side piece.
Not the mashed potatoes and coleslaw.
I do. I feel like sometimes I treat myself like the coleslaw that you ain't gonna eat, that you gonna throw in the trash. And what I mean by that is not like I don't treat myself terrible, but I actually do. Like, why am I in the bed till this late? Like, why am I sitting here scrolling this late? Why am I not treating myself like somebody important that's got shit to do?
Come on,
I actually do got shit to do. I just don't be wanting to do it. And then I be finding myself like, some people may call it irresponsible. I call it balancing, having my bills paid, and I might die tomorrow, you know? So that's a delicate balance to me. Some may say it's irresponsible, but who knows? You know, if you want to go get this thing to eat that you shouldn't be eating, I know my goal is to lose weight. But I also want this milkshake from Baskin Robbins, and I'm also extremely lactose intolerant. This is a double negative. This is not going to help me in any way. But also, I could die tomorrow, and I probably shouldn't spend these $11 on this milkshake, but I'm going to go do it anyway. But that's what I mean when I say I be treating myself terrible sometimes. Like, I know better. I need to do better because I have shit that I want to do and want to achieve, but I don't treat myself like I have shit that I want to achieve. So, ooh, I need to get that like on a plaque somewhere in my room so I can see it when I wake up. Like, I just need to, I don't know. And I feel like a lot of us have this thing. We need to realize how important we are. We're important too, not just the stuff that we look at on social media or the people that we like look up to or whatever. We're important too. We are those people, but we don't treat ourselves like it. We treat ourselves like we're homeless or something. So that's like my thing, to treat myself like I'm somebody.
Friend, you over here dragging me by my coochie hair.
I'm dragging myself. That situation that I described, that was me a couple days ago. I told you I've been eating like a wild boar.
And this,
no, I didn't need to spend that money. No, I didn't need that milkshake because I'm going to shit on myself later.
I'm so dead. No,
I need to lose weight. No, I didn't need all that sugar.
That ties in.
I might die tomorrow.
Perfectly, though. Because, like you said, we do these things. And is it lack of discipline? Is it impulsive? I told you what my therapist told me. She was like, oh, I hope you do these things because you like chaos. Bitch, let me say something about your life.
I'll show you some chaos, bitch. Don't you ever look me in my face.
And it was just like, and she said many a gem to me, but that one stuck with me. And she was like, when you are born and raised without structure, without discipline, and it's something you just coast through without, you know, in life, all you know is chaos. All you know is things that do not work well for you or things that are easy. I always think about, like, I'm a big basketball girly. I love watching NBA, WNBA, college. I enjoy it. But I say that I think about Dejanay Carrington said something one time in some interview. And she said something along the lines of, like, and I don't even know if she would remember this. She probably would, actually. But she said something like, she was talking about, like, how she had to put certain things to the side because she knew what she wanted ultimately. And the quick grabs, she knew, like, I want this now, but this will not get me to where I want to be. That mindset is, and that's a mindset that a lot of athletes have. Like, they're like, okay, I don't want to get up and go to the gym, or I don't want to do this, or I don't want to do that, but I know I need to do this in order to get here. That is something that I feel like the average common person lacks.
100%, because baby, I try to talk myself into it, and maybe for a while I can. 3 weeks, a month, and after that, I don't know what happens. It dies. Then I'll go get it a box of Pop-Tarts.
I think it comes down to finding a new way to excite yourself. Which goes back to what you and I were talking about earlier about the whole social media thing. And me saying, you know, I'm kind of half-minded on TikTok. Like, TikTok brings a lot of people joy. It's very informational. It helps people with community. Also, it's got a very nasty side to it. All social media does. But where there is good, remember there is always bad. So while one group found community, so did another group. So it's just like there's always that yin to the yang. And it makes me come to the realization of, like, how much do I feed into? How much time have I wasted? Where is the discipline needed to actually achieve what I need to achieve? And again, like I was saying earlier with TikTok, you know, where I'm kind of like, you know, it is what it is if it does go. Because, like I said, I feel like it has created, like, this brain rot where we can't focus for any long time at all. And it's just like people's ability to learn and hold in information nowadays almost seems shot out. And it's just like, I hate that. And it's like, there's this level of discipline that you need in order to become what you need to become. What is that quote? What is it? The greatest form of self-love is discipline.
I agree with it.
Whoever did that ate. They ate with that, because it's like finding new ways to excite yourself, or finding, you know, new recipes. You know, it's like, okay, I know I don't need this, or I shouldn't do this. And actually sticking with it, like, because I feel like one of the worst things that can happen, and I've seen this before, is people who get to the end of their life and they're bitter and miserable and ill because they didn't have the discipline, or they lack discipline to be what they could have potentially been. And then you get to a point to where it's everybody else's fault. This is why. And don't get the game twisted. As a black person in America, especially if you have a few others in that title, yeah, there's odds against you, babe. The American dream was not built for you in any capacity. You better believe that. Whatever you get, you're going to have to work 12 times hard for. But you do have to understand that it still comes with work, which is where that focus of the mind, body, and soul comes into. We get so caught up in the trauma of the past, and that becomes our identity, that getting out of that is like, oh, shit, that means I have to become something else. And doing anything new is terrifying because I haven't been here before. I don't know this, which is why we were talking earlier about the cycles and the patterns. You know, we end up going with the same type of person and we end up finding the same type of people. Why? Because we're attracted to a pattern. I know this pattern because it's familiar. Doing something that's unfamiliar is terrifying because you don't know the outcome. If you know you're putting yourself in a trash ass situation, you've already been in this trash ass situation or something similar too. So you most likely know what the outcome is going to be. You're not surprised when you're disappointed because you knew what was going on when you put yourself in that dumb ass predicament in the first place. When you start venturing off and making the decision to make certain changes that are going to affect certain parts of your life, I think that's where it gets terrifying because you don't know what the outcome is going to be. You don't know if you're going to win. You don't know if you're going to succeed. And honestly, life is a nonlinear path. It's probably going to be a little bit of both. True. A lot of the times you can't see success without failure. So you just have to kind of
failure.
A lot of failure. People, I hear people say all the time, "Hope, why isn't this happening here?" Or this isn't happening. No tea, no shade to y'all. That kind of pisses me off a little bit. Only because it's like, yeah, I am 10 plus years deep into this game now since I really started creating and putting myself out there. One, everything takes time. Two, everybody's journey is different. Three, there's so many other variables. I'm still a human being, like, above everything else. So the creativity has to come from the human. If the human isn't there with it at the time, then there's nothing happening. So
there's the thing about authenticity that's there too.
So it's so many moving pieces, but I say that to say I do have to take accountability for the part of me that lacked discipline, that lacked restraint, that just wanted to do what I wanted to do because I wanted to do it. And looking at it, I know that that directly has affected the way my mind, body, and soul has worked. One of my other close friends, Jeremy, has a saying where he's like, and he gets up and he gets to work. Do you hear me? This boy be running like 7-8 miles at a time. But he's like, do something for your creative self. Do something for your health. So basically, do something to keep you creative. Do something to keep you healthy. And find something to make you happy. Three things. And you can find a better... You can actually find something in life worth living for, right? Brene Brown said something, and I think we talked about this a couple of episodes ago, where it was like, instead of asking people what they do, ask them what makes them happy.
I've always found it odd that people, that's what the question's at. What do you do?
What do you do? Because as a society, that's what we're tied to, though. We're tied to titles. We're tied to all these things that don't come naturally to being human. Mm. And that's why I say letting the past be the past. It is what it is once it is, right? You can't change it. Ain't no time machine exists, not that I know of, unless some of them aliens in the ocean got one. In that case, give it to us now. Send us back to November 5th immediately.
Nope, we don't need to get November 5th. We need to go back to its birth date.
End it before it starts. I'm dead. End it before it
starts.
But yeah, once it's done, it's done. It's done. It's done. It's done. And that is a hard thing for a lot of people to sit with, because once it's done, that's it. It's done. So how do you protect yourself, your mind, your spirit, your body, and soul going forward to honor that constant healing process? Understanding that it is a constant flow. It is a constant state of work. And yeah, some days that's going to be great. Some days that's going to suck. But it is constant, and as long as you are constant and as long as you are living, you are constant because you are constantly experiencing life as it comes to you. And making those executive decisions. Making those executive decisions. I agree with Atticus. Like, I'm half-minded on that too, because one part of me is like, absolutely. Absolutely, I'm finna go get me some baby back ribs right now. I sure am.
Right.
And my blood pressure gonna be 182 over. So I'm gonna be sitting there, my pressure just
oh Lord, my pressure.
Eddie, I think I'm finna get out of here.
No, you can't leave. You don't have permission.
So it's like, I get that. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with enjoying yourself occasionally. I think you do need to create a plan to where you can enjoy yourself occasionally. Because mm-hmm. you get to a point to where you start enjoying yourself a little too much, and then you start doing irreparable damage. It's like, now I'm enjoying myself and now I can't. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Depending on what the situation is. No, you know what I'm saying?
Is it like a thing where us specifically, because I feel like there were times where we couldn't have stuff when we were growing up, too. And now we've got to a point where, you know, we work and make our own money and do our own thing. I can have what I want whenever I want it most of the time. And nobody can stop me.
And I think that's where that's, I think that's where that self-control thing comes up. But again, that's mm-hmm. also trauma. So dealing with that situation of, because Black people, I think we got that somewhere in season two where we talk about like the financial aspect of Black people and how, especially if you grew up poor, you have a little less self-restraint than the average person. Because just, and Addie said it perfectly, that's exactly what it is. I did have it growing up, but now I can buy it now. I can do it now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, then you end up broke or mm-hmm. you put yourself in a situation that you didn't have to be in because mm-hmm. again, that impulsive nature to do something because I want to do it now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we'll now get you to later.
Nope.
And that's the problem. But I'm gonna do it anyways. And it's just like, how do you get out of that? And that's the conversation I think that we're having this week and next week is getting out of that mindset of, because again, like I said, you know, you treat yourself or you do this or you make these impulsive decisions until the damage is irreparable. You can't fix it. I use myself as an example. Again, I'm on blood pressure medicine now. I'm only 37. That's insane. And it's people my age and younger who are as well, but it's just like, maybe I could enjoy them baby back ribs or a fat ass double cheeseburger if I did eat healthier 4 days out of the week. You know what I'm saying? Because then it's not like my body is like, bitch, please. You had Jack in the Box yesterday. You had Churches today. You had Wendy's. Don't you bite that pizza, bitch. Don't you like it wouldn't be as bad if you took care of yourself because again, going back to that part about irreparable damage. Now, luckily, blood pressure can be fixed, but congestive heart failure can't. I have my dad and my grandmother both died from congestive heart failure. I already know how my genetics work. You know what I'm saying? So it's like that also that awareness not to play stupid games and win stupid prizes. So it's like if you know something and you continue to not do what you're supposed to do, are you living in the past or are you using the past as a crutch to prevent you from actually having a future?
The crutch part.
So that's that thing that you have to sit with. That, and again, it's all a control thing. I can control the outcome. At least I know what'll happen, but it could be so much more.
If only we allow it to be.
Well,
we'll get there.
That's the gag. That's
a work in progress.
If only we allow it to be, because that allowing part be whooping our ass. Mm-hmm.
So I think I've got to the point where when I look back, I don't really see a bunch of things I regret or wish I would have done differently. If only for the sole fact that, like, I keep thinking that one small change could have changed so much of the journey so far. I may not have been able to meet some of the people I've met. The story would have been a lot different. Maybe it would still be a good story. Maybe it would be a better story. But, like, I have such an appreciation for everything that has happened so far, even the bad stuff, that I wouldn't want to alter course on anything as of yet, if that makes sense. So when it comes to everything in the past, from my end, I feel like I'm at a point where bygones be bygones. Everything is okay. Everything is as it should be now. Today is the beginning of the rest of your life. Ain't that what they say?
Yep.
And I'm just going to try my best going forward. I know every day is not a good day, because Lord, the past few days ain't really been great days. I've been okay, but they ain't been great days. But just do the best we can, but do what I can with what I got. In my Mariah voice.
She was toe the hell up. But that's beautifully said, Fran. I mean, that's the reality of it, is you can't, like I said, what's done is done is done is done is done. You can't change the past. You can't change. And like you said, what would your story be if it had not been for these things? Yeah, maybe some things you wanted to be different. God knows there's been parts of my past that I had no control over that I would absolutely change if I could change. But then how much of who I am today would be what I am today? So, it, and again, it just is what it is. So it's like, okay, let me do my part in healing that so my actions don't affect the best version of myself that I can be, or affect anyone else who is undeserving of whatever I'm casting off on them because of whatever I have going on. And like you said, today is the first day of the rest of your life. So it's just that process of waking up saying, okay, I'm not going to let my past defeat me, but I don't mind if it does to a degree define me, because it has happened and it is a part of my story. But now, what is the next thing? What is the next level? What can I do to be more? So yeah, that's my take on it. Because like I said, everything is intertwined: mind, heart, body, soul. You really have to do things that speak to you as a person, and understand at the end of the day, you're human. Like you were saying, you know, this week hadn't been the best for certain things, and you're human. Everybody is afforded a human week, right? It's been heavy. These last couple of weeks have been heavy. This last month has been heavy. People are going through it. You're afforded these things. We're human. We are here in real time in the real world. But it's the getting up afterwards and just continuing to work on that fulfillment that we all deserve, because we're alive and we should be happy. Is it going to be every day? No, but it's the yin to the yang. It's a part of experience in this thing called life. But yeah, that's all I got for it.
And that's all I have for today too. I'm not going to even leave off with a quote today. I'm going to do that for our next episode, because that's the part two.
Fantastic. Well,
but you ever wonder, I'm going to leave with this one last thing. Like I got two random things. One I forgot to mention earlier. I told you I've been dreaming a lot lately.
Okay.
And the dreams have been like somewhat pleasant. So then I get to last night, and every time I have like somewhat of a disturbing dream, as you could tell, a celebrity is involved for some reason. This one is going to be somebody you didn't even expect. And it's going to be such a weird circumstance. So okay. I was at like a club of some kind. I think you were there. It was a lot of people there. But Cash Doll was there. In the club, we was having a time, friend. Cash Doll was trying to fuck me. I was about to get molested on the dance floor. That was random. Okay, I'm gonna leave that right there.
I'm so dead. But
the second part, I had to leave with a laugh, is we were just talking about what it would be like, what the stories would be like if we had changed anything in the past. Like I may not know some people. I may not have ever like met you or sat down and talked to you the way we did for us to be best friends. It was like, if we had like a Multiverse of Madness episode and you found yourself and they looked at you, this was just an intrusive thought. I'd be like, my other universe self would look at me and be like, God damn, boy, you back. That's a thick ass boy. God damn.
I am so dead.
What the fuck did you do over there? Hey.
That is one of them situations. I'm so dead. Like, God, what you been eating in this?
Oh, shit. God damn, how much you weigh? What went wrong over there? Shit.
I'm so dead. I'm so dead. Like, ooh.
Ooh, God damn. I'm lucky to be in this universe.
The devastation. I wouldn't. You know what though? Like a skinny me, because I don't want to be skinny. Like I just want to. Mm-hmm. I want to get down to, because I've always been short and stocky. Like I'm 5'6", 5'6" and a half. I'm gonna count my little half inch. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I've always been built like as one of them thick ass softball player type chicks. Like that's mm-hmm. all. And then I just got fat with it. But like I've always been stocky. That is my build. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to get down to being too skinny, because I wouldn't even know what a skinny me looked like from a multiverse. I'd probably, girl, if you don't get this loose change ass looking bitch away from me, like, I would look like, no.
I wouldn't even recognize myself.
I would not recognize myself. That has tickled crazy. Me, friend.
You're over there and you're broke too? Oh my God. What did you do?
You start talking that crazy, now I'm going to rob your ass.
Probably have a wife.
I'm dead. Not the straight Atticus version.
No, he was pretending to be straight.
Also, he would still be, okay, so he would mm-hmm. be one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Not you. Not you being a black MAGA in a multiverse.
Oh!
With a wife going on Grindr at the Republican convention. One of them people that was crashing it out. Tell you something. If I saw my multiverse stuff and they was on some shit like that, you're not going home, babe. You're not going home. I'm gonna blow your scalp off in this universe.
Multiverse of coonery.
Right.
Where the hell did I wake up? Oh my God, send me back.
Sin, child, I'm blowing that motherfucking scalp loose. You can't go. I in no universe will be known as this. I'm so dead, friend.
What if you're the outlier? The only one that is this version of you. All the rest of them are MAGA people. Oh my God. What a thought.
That's kind of the thing in, what is that TV show? Oh gosh, and it's on Prom, and I got rid of Prom. I'll get Prom back long enough to watch it. Invincible. So like Invincible. His storyline with oh gosh, the black dude. Lord, I can't think of no names right now, y'all. I'm sorry, but the guy with the big cranium with the multiple brains. So in almost every single timeline, Invincible and his dad actually did join together with the other Viltrumites and was blowing everything else the fuck up.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about now. Yes.
But, yeah, so essentially, that's kind of his same thing. Like, in every other universe, this nigga is a tyrant. He is terrible. Only in this particular Invincible universe, he didn't join his dad, and his dad didn't join the Viltrumites. They're all Viltrumites, but, like, they didn't actually go through with the plan. So, ciao. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, that would be a terrible thought.
That would be terrible. But I just wanted to leave y'all off with a little bit of a laugh, since the episode was a little bit, you know.
Heavy.
A little bit heavier.
Heavy, heavy.
But all right, y'all. Until next time, y'all be safe. We appreciate you. And I'll see you later.
See you guys later. See you next time. Peace.
Bye.